Good morning. I welcome you all here to the Lord's house this morning on this last Sunday of the church year. We have made it through the season of Pentecost, and we are now at the dawn of Advent. It is always good for us to be here, and when the brothers and sisters in Christ can come together, gather together, and dwell together in unity. We are here especially this morning to praise our great God together, and may we lift up our voices together this morning following Divine Service Setting 3, and we sing now our opening hymn, number 525. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. but I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Beloved in the Lord, upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading comes from the book of Malachi, chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of keeping his charge or of walking in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers do not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. And there followed Jesus a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. For he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the king of the Jews. of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for a hymn of the day, number 420. have learned from driving over the years is that when it comes to law enforcement, ignorance is not an excuse. I don't know about you, but it seems to me like I can get pulled over out of nowhere. You know, you might not have known that Illinois has made it illegal to talk on the phone while driving a few years back. You might not have known that you are driving with a broken headlight. You might have thought that you stopped at the stop sign here in town. Or you might not have known what the speed limit was or how fast you were actually going. I can tell you, I have made quite a few friends with police officers over the years. Honestly, we do get along very well. It's just that they like to teach me about such things, and they like to enlighten me about things that I didn't know. One time, even being invited into a patrol car because of that broken headlight. I don't know what it is about me or my car or whatever it is that apparently just looks so suspicious. But again, that is just besides the point. Rather, what I've learned, and what I imagine all of us have learned over the years, is that ignorance is not an excuse. Regardless of one's awareness, it is still breaking the law to do such things. You can still get fined, ticketed, and pulled over for committing certain things, even when done in complete ignorance. For the most part, it just depends upon each individual officer whether you will be shown pity or not. Ignorance is never an excuse, and the same is true when it comes to God's law as well. Dear friends, we can sin in ignorance. We can be totally unaware of it, but you can sin against the Lord and be deserving of eternal death. In fact, justice would demand it, for the wages of sin is death, Paul says. Which is why I find Jesus' prayer this morning so interesting. Father, forgive them, he says, for they know not what they do. As I just said, ignorance doesn't give anyone a free pass, and certainly the God of justice isn't going to take ignorance as an excuse when you one day stand before his throne. But while ignorance doesn't excuse, it can lead a judge to have extra pity and patience upon you. And that is how I read and interpret what Jesus says here. If you will, Father, have pity, have mercy, for they know not what they do. As we look at the gospel reading, in one sense, Jesus is literally praying for those who are immediately standing around the cross. And he's praying for those who physically arrested him, whipped him, and nailed him to the tree. Have pity on them, he says. They don't understand what they're doing. They're spiritually blind, spiritually dead. And they don't understand the gravity of what they're doing. Their ignorance has led them to do this. And may their ignorance lead you to pity. But then there's another sense in which we can understand this prayer. For I believe that its application goes much farther than to the immediate context, but rather it is a prayer which continues throughout the ages. Throughout all time and space, the God of love is led to pity the wicked. Because in a certain sense, there isn't a man on earth who truly understands the depth and meaning and wickedness of their sin. It can be said of all of us They know not what they do. That is a large part of what I want to look at this morning. For when we look at Jesus' prayer, we see two things. Firstly, we're invited to see sin in a new light. As he says, they know not what they do. We're invited to see it how it's always darker and more wicked than we realize. But then secondly, this morning, we'll also see God's grace in a new light. That his mercy is higher and infinitely more loving than we ever realized, saying, "Father, forgive them." First then, dear friends, there is an unknown depth to human sin. So corrupt is our fallen nature that we can't even see sin accurately. I've said it once before, but it amazes me how many people want to redefine sin as if they were just oopsie daisies. They want to downplay them, preferring to use such words like accidents or mistakes. They choose a language that makes it sound like sin is no big deal. After all, it's just human nature, they say. Or they say, "I was born this way, and I am only doing my best." Beloved, the world has such a small view of sin. Though they do abominable works, surely it must be said, they know not what they do. They can't see that gravity of their actions. They don't see that the wages of sin is death, and they can't rightly see the depravity of it all. But that is true also for those of us in their church. There are many of us who likewise see sin as no big deal. Many Christians live in unrepentant sin because why not? Dying to self and killing the old Adam daily is just too much work. And besides, the old nature is just good enough, we seem to convince ourselves. Yet in that we fail to accurately see just how wicked sin is. Even those with the most sensitive consciences can't see it rightly in its blackest light. Who among us can know the full meaning of sin, and who can evaluate its nature? Peel back even a single layer of sin, and you will start to see the wickedness which lies beneath. When you look beneath the surface, it becomes clear that every sin is a most grievous sin against the Lord. Perhaps we don't see it at first, but is it not true that every time we sin, we are in effect calling God a fool? Behind every sin, the sinner has essentially called God a fool. Perhaps not with their words, but with their actions. For whenever we sin, we have essentially said that God's law is not what is best for us. By our own actions, we have confessed that God has made a mistake. And by sinning against his commands, we have testified that his commandments are not actually good, proper, or enjoyable. We slander a neighbor, but you don't just hurt and harm them, but deeper down you sin against the mighty God. You think you're doing no harm, but you know not what you're doing. For in all seriousness, you have just called God a fool to his face. But that is just one aspect, beloved. For this, in the same way, every sin is just as good as calling God a liar. He has told you what is good and evil. He has told you that sin is bitter and wicked. And yet by our actions we seem to call him a liar. We have argued that bitter things are actually sweet, and that evil things are actually good. We've contradicted his commands, arguing that what he calls bitter is actually quite pleasant. How depraved are our actions whenever we argue about what a foolish liar God must be. And once more, every time we sin, it is like calling God an unjust tyrant. We claim, again, not by our words, but by our very doing, that his laws are too burdensome. Sinning, we claim that his commands were given to us with unjust reason. For that moment in sin, we're claiming that the Lord has given us laws that he ought not to have given us, or that his laws are too hard and arbitrary. Dearly beloved, is all this not darker than dark? Is all this not more wicked than any of us can fully understand? Is it not nothing to call the all-wise God a fool, the God of truth a liar, and the good and gracious God a tyrant? Truly, we must confess, Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. Truly, we must confess that sin is worse than anything we could imagine. And yet we still do it. So have mercy upon us, Lord. Like ignorant children, we don't understand the gravity of our sins. I doubt there is a single person in our midst who would stand up and say that they defy the Lord. But by our actions, every one of us has taken an aim at his crown. Every time we have lied, lost patience, cursed, refused to forgive, we have refused to let God be king. When we do whatever pleases us, we have sought to take the scepter as our own and to wear the crown ourselves. There's not a man on earth who sees the vileness of sin rightly, for no one can comprehend just how much God hates it, how he is so utterly opposed to it. It's no small thing. We've looked down only one layer, but indeed it keeps going down. Just see how God's anger burns against it, longing to smite it and to put it to an end. We see in Scripture that he didn't even spare the angels who sinned, but rather he tells us that he has prepared a place for them into the lake of fire. We see how he didn't spare the Garden of Eden when man first sinned. He didn't spare the world when sin increased and spread abroad. Rather, wherever sin was found, there did he open the floodgates to drown the entire unbelieving world. And beloved, the Lord God didn't even spare his own son, his beloved, only begotten son in whom he is well pleased. Even in him, as he took the world's sin upon himself, the Almighty didn't hold back the whips, the nails, and the spears. We know not what we do, and how clear it is when we see that what God abhors, men seems to flirt with. We seem to pamper and pet that which God loathes and despises. We want to be married to the world and to Christ. We want to be adulterers with God and with our worldly lusts, putting spiritual things into last importance. Again, it must be said, Father, they know not what they do. For they are blind fools, not knowing the gravity of their actions. We can't grasp the eternal, infinite weight of our sin, for it shall always be darker than we can ever realize. But now, dear friends, having seen sin in its vileness, may we now turn and see the Lord's grace in all of its glory. And with the Lord's help, may we look lastly to the unknown heights of God's loving kindness as he says, Father, forgive them. Ignorance doesn't excuse sin. Justice demands our punishment. But the Lord is so led to have mercy and compassion upon us. Though the debt must be paid, he pays it himself. Notice here the unimaginable heights of God's grace. For I want you to notice, first of all, the time frame of this prayer. These are the very first words from the cross. Father, forgive them. Jesus has just gotten nailed to the cross and hoisted into the air. It's like in no time at all, it has passed before, and then Jesus immediately starts praying for his enemies. It's like you can still see the imprint of the nail's head upon the soldier's palms. You can still see the blood still wet, dripping down their clothes. The very blood which came from the same hands they pierced. They nailed him through, and yet he prays, Father, forgive them. See the height of God's mercy, that he prays for you, that he prays for his worst enemies. Above the clamor of their bloodlust, we hear the Savior crying, Forgive them, Father, forgive them. Though they wouldn't even pray for themselves, Jesus prays for them. He prays on their behalf, though their hearts are as hard as stone. They have no consciousness of sin, but still does Jesus seek their blessing. What a wonder it is. No one would have accused Jesus of doing wrong if his first prayer on the cross concerned only himself. You might have thought that his first prayer would have been for himself, perhaps for strength or for patience or for peace. But we see here that his first prayer is completely devoid of self. Father, forgive them. Jesus has already forgiven them. That is taken for granted. He forgave them the whole time through. But here on the cross, he is working as our mediator. If anyone sins, John says, we have an advocate with our Father. See that surpassing height of God's glorious grace. There wasn't anything in us that led him to pray. There was nor is any merit or worthiness found within us. Rather, it was despite our sin. It was our sin that nailed the Christ child to the tree. Yet, alongside the blood flowed streams of mercy for you. Out of the very nature of his being, love was overflowing to the most depraved enemies and flooding the world. without our asking or prompting, dear friends, without any worthiness in us, the good and gracious Lord died for the forgiveness of your sins. Dear friends, just as we can't fully comprehend the blackness of sin, we can't begin to understand the heights of his generous mercy. The blood of the infinite shed for you, that holy, precious blood of Christ, the blood of the almighty, infinite God himself, bleeding for you, his body and blood given to you this morning at the Lord's table, given to you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And so may we praise the Lord always for his wonderful benefits to us. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. A word of prayer. Heavenly Father, that we are born sinful and unclean, that we are born spiritually dead, blind, and at enmity with you, you continue to have pity upon us. Your great love has led you to have compassion towards us sinners. And while we were living in darkness, pleasuring ourselves and living for the vanities of this world, we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us. Through your word, through your Son, and through your Spirit, you have dawned a spiritual light upon us. Help us to see your glory. Help us to love and appreciate your grace. And lead us to cherish your wonderful gifts of life and salvation. Though we cannot fully understand the cost, lead us to rejoice in knowing that you have adopted us to be your sons and daughters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And holy God, you dwell in unapproachable light. You reveal yourself as a consuming fire, and yet you desire to have mercy upon your creation. By your Spirit, enlighten our eyes to see rightly spiritual things. Help us to see the wickedness of sin. Lead us to flee from sin, evil, and from all sorts of temptations. Give us, rather, the strength to overcome the sinful flesh. Give us your Spirit to strengthen in us to fight the good fight. We ask that you would prune us of all unprofitable branches and produce in us an abundance of spiritual fruit. Give us your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. May you work in us to be witnesses to your glory all our days on earth and beyond in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And mighty God, as we are so often blind and foolish, we ask that you would open our eyes, convict us of sin, and lead us back to lives of faithfulness. Lead us to cherish you and your word above all things. Lead us to properly evaluate the importance of going to church, Sunday school, Bible study, and participating in personal devotions and prayers throughout the week. As your people, lead us to set our lives apart from this world. Help us to see the vanity of worldly things. And lead us further to put our hope, our confidence, and our joy all in you alone. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, as we come to the close of another church year, moving into Thanksgiving and Advent, we ask that you would be working in our midst, be working in our families and in our relationships. Lead us in quality time with family and friends. Lead us in profitable conversations and the building up of one another. Especially this Thanksgiving, be with us as we gather around the dinner table. Guide our hearts to thank you for all your bountiful gifts, and lead us to give you thanks and praise in our thoughts, words, and actions, and in our prayers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, continue to bring about your good and sovereign purpose. Continue to work all things together for our good. Whether your people are going through trials or through times of peace, we ask that you would use it all to accomplish your good and eternal plan. Lead suffering to bring the body of Christ and all of us closer to you. For those struggling in mind, body, and spirit, lead us to gather around them and lift them up, sharing in their burdens. Use the trials to bring all of us closer to one another and to your throne, looking to you for help, strength, comfort, and peace. For all who are on our prayer list and upon our hearts, we lift them to you, including this morning Hannah Miller, Janet Eichels, Carrie Higgins, all of our nursing home residents, and all of our family and friends of this congregation, and all who are on our hearts this morning that you hear in silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And lastly, Father, we thank you for continuing to bless the families of Emmanuel. Thank you for another anniversary celebration of Alan and Sandy Bamer, 51 years. Continue to bless their marriage as well as the marriages of all your saints who have entered into that holy union. Bring unity, love, sacrifice, and patience to bear upon your church. And may we continue to live for one another as a living metaphor of the great love which you have towards us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up unto the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is meet and right so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 837.